Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jamp and Luke Cutforth.
Hello.
Hello, sorry.
You're mid-drink.
Today we'll be talking about mad scientists and raging bulls.
Raging what? Sorry?
Raging
bulls.
Bulls. Okay. Bulls. Don't, James.
Raging bulls.
You don't have to turn my inappropriate thoughts into a sound wave. Thank you.
In the 60s and 70s, a Spanish scientist invented a device that allowed him to control the brains of animals and even humans. José Manuel Rodríguez Delgado was acclaimed in his time, but has since faded into obscurity due to his unorthodox vision for his studies.
I don't like that.
No, you won't like this at all.
It's testing an animal, isn't it?
You just write these episodes with what Luke will despise.
No, I was like, yeah, I find this in my notes. I've got a whole list of just episodes and had one word. And I googled that word and I was like, Luke is going to hate this.
I also take issue with your introduction a little bit. I think what you said, if I'm remembering correctly, said control the minds of animals and humans.
Yes.
I don't agree. I think he was controlling the bodies. The mind is experiencing.
I've written control the brains.
Oh, yeah. Then cut this out.
That is the body, yeah, technically. Yeah.
I might have said minds. I don't know how to read very well.
Okay.
Okay. So before we get into talking about José Manuel Rodríguez Delgado, I want to talk to you about electricity in the brain, which, Luke, you might know a little something about.
There is.
Oh, TMS.
Yeah, TMS.
Yeah, I had a depression treatment, which basically consisted of them using electromagnets to electrocute my brain. And I'm happier now, so guess it works. It's brilliant.
Thank you, electroshock therapy.
So do you guys...
No. Not that. It's not the same thing.
It all comes from the same root, really. You have this guy to thank. You've got animal testing
Mike Pence
to thank you for being happy.
Oh, don't say that.
I don't
need that guilt on my mind, Corey. I've just got better from being sad, and now you're giving me guilt again.
How to undo weeks of TMS in one sentence.
So, you guys know what neurons are?
Yes.
And you know that they've got...
I know the word. Okay. I know vaguely what they are.
So, those are the cells in your brain, essentially. And they use electricity to kind of talk to each other, and they're what make you think, they're what make you move, they're... just everything that makes you.
Oh, they use everything, aren't they?
Yeah, essentially. So there's different parts of a neuron. You've got dendrites, axons, axon terminals, and the myelin sheath.
These words ring a bell. I did learn these.
Yes. So basically, dendrites receive signals and axons are kind of like the wires. And then the axon terminals are what send the signals. And then the myelin sheath just speeds up signal transmissions to the axon.
Please don't use those words again for the rest of the episode, because I won't remember any of those definitions. Neither will the listeners. So
basically,
the myelin sheath is like the when you play Mario Kart and you go on a boost thing and it pushes you forward really quick.
The myelin sheath sounds like something that like a nobleman would store his sword in.
That's true.
The myelin
if he had a tiny penis.
This is a fine myelin sheath, my good sir.
The myelin blade. So, do you guys know how we get electricity in our brains?
Electroshock therapy.
Mitochondria?
You're both incredibly wrong.
Okay.
Lightning.
Every baby is struck by lightning at birth, and that's what gives them life. No, it's concentration gradients.
Yes, I know what that is.
That's less fun.
Where you have like a high density of something and a low density of something, and then the potential difference across those causes an electric charge.
Yeah, exactly. So basically...
Sweet. I just made that up.
James is looking...
Essentially.
James is looking horrified. I feel like you don't understand. So basically...
Something about gradients.
You've got a difference in charge on the inside of a cell and the outside of a cell. Mm. And how that's done is by ions. So you've got sodium ions outside and potassium ions inside.
Oh, we talked about ions briefly in another episode.
We did.
I'm following now.
Charged particles. So to change the charge inside and outside the shell, you need to pump ions in or out. So basically what you do is you just swap, say, two sodiums for three potassiums.
Yes.
Or vice versa. And that changes the charge. And then that creates a potential difference, which creates electricity, which is how your brain works.
Yes.
I feel like this is a lot more complicated than I thought it was.
It is a lot more complicated, but you know what? You put it good enough.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. I hope everyone else does.
I followed it, so it's fine.
Okay, I just wanted to explain basically how your brain works. I
mean, that's exactly how a battery works as well.
It's the same as, your brain is just a battery.
Loads of little batteries.
That's how your brain works, through electricity. And we can stimulate that using electrical fields or just by jabbing electrodes in there and running electric currents through them. So that's called inducing an electric charge. So that's how a TMS works. So essentially, what they did was they strapped Luke down.
No.
Against his will.
I don't want to get sued. They did not strap me down.
It was mild consensual bondage.
There were no straps at all. Not even on my head or around my neck.
I thought there was one on your head.
There was not one on my head. They just relied on me staying very still.
Was it like a hat?
It was a little hat that all the hat did would show them where to point the magnet. It wasn't actually doing anything. And then no straps.
There was no bondage behind me.
It didn't even touch you, did it? It was like a little fidget spinner thing.
It was a little fidget spinner on my head. No bondage, unless you use fidget spinners in your bondage, in which case, get some help.
Seek therapy. Preferably not electroshock.
Sorry, Corey just looked at me like I was kink shaming, as if he's like, it's perfectly fine to have a fidget spinner kink.
I wasn't paying attention to that conversation at all because
there are worse kinks.
There's a cat in this room.
Yes, there's been listeners. The whole time.
There's a cat in this room.
It's staring at the door.
While you guys were talking, the cat tried to climb up my back.
Did it?
Hello, good boy. Good boy.
So essentially, they just fire electromagnetic radiation at a specific part of the brain, which induces an electric charge in that part of the brain. So in Luke's case, what they would have done was...
Is this just an episode about me?
It's about Luke, yeah.
Okay, cool.
This is why you'll hate him.
Yeah,
episode 8, Luke.
So they fired it at the part of his brain that made him happy.
Yeah, well, I didn't know it was still there, but they did, yeah, apparently.
Apparently it was alive.
So the part of Luke's brain that made him happy was very small, but they managed to find it and fire
It's got a new lease on life.
They managed to fire electromagnetic radiation at it and make it grow just through using it. It's basically thinking happy thoughts, but...
But not like that.
But with science.
It'll force you to think happy thoughts.
So there's also a slightly more invasive procedure because TMS, they just strap a hat
on you. Remove the sad part.
No straps.
Brain.
They just put a hat on your head. That's more of a lobotomy.
The more invasive procedure would be directly stimulating that part of my brain with electrical charge.
Yeah, so deep brain stimulation, which they do just get electrodes and surgically implant them into your brain.
That seems fun.
Seems fun, doesn't it?
Yeah,
there are some people who actually have that, aren't they?
Yeah.
There are people who have it where the implant, it's implanted in them and it comes out of the head, mm-hmm. and then you can stimulate it from outside. So you don't have to keep operating. But
exactly,
I do have it. Yeah,
oh,
it's essentially like a pacemaker for your brain.
For your brain, yeah. Clever.
Is there any such thing as something where you could implant like a rod of something in, and then when you send a certain frequency, it turns that into electric charge? Like, because you could use. Does that exist?
So I think what you're talking about. It's similar to what I'm going to be talking about later.
Sweet, I did it again!
You did it again!
You do this every week. It's not a surprise.
I don't tell Luke what I'm talking about, ever.
No, he really doesn't.
He doesn't know.
Luke comes around once a week, and we start recording 10 minutes after he arrives. There's no prep between these two.
we just think the same. Well, this guy is a mad scientist, so clearly there's something there between you two.
Great.
But DBS, deep brain stimulation, that's used to work on Parkinson's disease.
Deep brain stimulation. I don't know why that made me laugh.
It's used for Parkinson's disease. I feel like I shouldn't be talking about this now. The bar has been brought far too low.
Yeah.
But essentially, it just stops you from doing things that your brain shouldn't be doing. So I'm going to talk about Jose Manuel Rodriguez Delgado now. So he is a very old and very dead man. He was born in 1950.
Very old and very dead.
That is not how you introduce people.
Hello?
You start with their achievements.
This is Jose.
Maybe one of the very nice person.
And very, very dead.
And then you mention that they're dead.
And then you just say dead. You don't say very dead.
He is very dead. He died 8 years ago.
That's not very dead.
8 years. That's quite not dead.
There's much more dead than that, Corey.
There's much less dead.
There's still much more.
We'll agree to meet
in the middle of not very dead and very dead, which would be just using the word dead, okay. Which is what he is.
Let's just say dead.
He's a dead man.
It's not like you're threatening him now. He's a dead man. He owes me money.
But when he wasn't a dead man, he was alive. And in fact, he was a professor.
Was he now?
Surprisingly, yes. A professor of physiology.
Please believe it or not. He was alive before he was dead.
A professor of physiology.
Yes.
A feat of magic.
Where is he a professor?
A feat of magic.
Where is he a professor of physiology?
At Yale University. He was famed for his research on mind control. I've just realized that you can't see me doing the air quotes. I'm doing air quotes when I say mind control. Through electrical stimulation of the brain. So
not quite MK Ultra.
Well, actually, he was a little bit involved in it. Because as I was looking into this, I found out more about MK Ultra, and it wasn't just LSD that they used to try and control minds. It was a whole range of divisions.
They used electromagnetic waves.
So they tried to use them over a distance,
right,
in order to influence people's brains. In fact, there was this story of the Russians sending radio waves into the American embassy.
Did it have any effect? Is it effective at all?
It had an effect. I mean, I think they just had confusion and like not really knowing what they're doing, which is just confusion. It was mostly just confusion.
Conspiracy theory. I think most people in the world are confused and don't really know what they're doing. So maybe that's what all the cell towers are doing. They're doing exactly what they did to the American embassy. They're making us confused. We don't know what we're doing. Nobody knows what we're freaking doing. It's the cell towers.
I think you're projecting there, Luke.
No, I am joking, obviously. But don't rule anything out.
Oh, no, absolutely. No.
I mean, it could totally
I'm always skeptical of cell towers.
The thing is, with things like this, we don't know the long-term effects of mobile phones.
Yes. And did we ever vote to have mobile phone towers put up?
No. Probably isn't. Well, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
I don't know. It wasn't there.
Yeah.
We didn't. Well, anyway, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist. I'm just saying.
I'm sure they were put up before I was born, so I don't know.
Wake up. Wake up.
Wake up. You're not real.
The coverage of cell towers is quite shit, though, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's all the mind control.
Yes.
Yeah.
All of it's reserved for mind control. 1% is for actual cell coverage.
Well, all I'm saying is they're very big, and my phone's very small, so... In fact, you could probably say that my phone is about 1% of a cell tower.
Well, you got to add all the phones together.
Oh.
And then all the towers together.
True.
Okay, so back to Jose.
Yeah, sorry. What's his name again?
Jose Manuel Rodriguez Delgado.
Very good.
I'm just going to take close. The one time you got it right. Put that through. Single time.
How many times did you practice that?
Never.
Really?
Oh, really? I could tell. No.
I've read it out. I didn't think I needed to practice it. It didn't seem like a difficult name to say.
Can we just
say.
Shorten his name to something? Like
Jose, like his first name.
Jose
Delgado.
Why would you have to print? Why would you shorten Jose all of those things Rodriguez. To just hose?
Hose.
Gotta no, save time, Jose. Man. Gotta be snappy.
Jose's two syllables. You make it one. Hey, hose.
Hey, hose.
I'm gonna call him Delgado.
That's what I say when I get to this house.
Okay, so back to Delgado.
Yes.
His dad was an eye doctor, and he'd planned to follow in his footsteps, but then he changed his mind as soon as he got into a physiology laboratory. And he realized that the brain was really interesting and he wanted to study that. In fact, he said, "The many mysteries of the brain, how little was known then and how little we know now," is the reason that he wanted to study it.
That's a pretty good reason.
Yeah. I'm saying this knowing that you guys don't know what's going to happen to with this guy.
Okay.
But he is a veritable mad scientist. Like, a crazy person.
Oh, he is the bad one.
Yeah, he's bad. Like, well...
Bloody hose. He's always pulling shit.
Well, I know where this is going to go.
I wouldn't say he's a bad man. I'd say he's kind of an anti-hero. Conflicted.
Okay. I feel like I'm going to agree with everything Hose did.
I don't think you are.
Oh, okay. Very exciting.
He said this at the beginning. He said you're not going to.
I don't think you're going to agree with it at all. So...
But what I mean by that is I think I'm not going to think he's mad. I think he's going
that
to...
That scares me.
Okay. I think... yeah.
I think that... I don't think he's mad. I think that he's... It's rational,
right?
What he's saying, but I don't think it's ethical.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going to agree with him then.
Yeah.
Cool. Fuck hose.
fuck hose.
Now you call him hose.
Oh no! That came out so badly.
Just a little fun fact. He spent 5 months in a concentration camp because there was a Spanish Civil War, and he was on the wrong side.
Oh.
But I mean, the right side. He was against. He was against. He was against fascism. Fascism just won.
He picked the wrong side.
I think that was a Freudian slip there. He picked the wrong side. He should have gone with the fascists. Idiot.
I only bring this up.
Rookie.
Silly hose.
Stop calling him hose. I only bring this up because of the man that Delgado would become. It seems strange to me that he was against fascism, because that seems to be kind of his whole deal.
Okay.
He was a man that thought that stimulating the brain electrically was far more effective than making people consume things orally.
I agree with him, probably.
Yes, however, he was sticking bloody great bits of metal in their heads.
Yes. Mm. More like, I agree with him in an ideal world where you could easily get to any part of the brain you want.
Absolutely. Ideally, if we knew how the brain worked and where all the parts of it were and we didn't need to do invasive surgeries.
Yeah.
100%.
But stick a rod in your brain.
He was genuinely just sticking rods in brains and seeing what happened.
Cool.
Yeah, he's...
Don't say cool.
There was a lot of trial and error with this.
Don't be cool then.
He was described as a tech wizard, though. I say this in quotes. Everywhere I read about him, he's described as a tech wizard.
I'm going to be skeptical of everyone who is described as a tech wizard now.
You should be. So he invented the stimulator, which I was going to ask you guys if you've heard of, but I feel like you've almost certainly not.
No,
definitely not.
Okay, so what it is essentially just a device that you put in your brain, and it can take signals from your brain and understand those to a degree, and also give you little electric shocks in your brain to stimulate those parts of your brain.
And you put it in the brain, and then you reseal the brain, and it still works?
So basically, what you do is you kind of drill holes in the skull and put the electrodes in.
Standard.
And then it just kind of sticks out.
Okay.
This was
like
back
a Teletubby.
I was just about to say that, like a weird Teletubby.
Oh God, it is just like being
Shrek. If you had two at the top of like ears, like rabbit ears, you'd look like Shrek.
It's more like, okay, do you know what a perfect one is? Do you know the Navi from Avatar?
Harbison.
Yeah.
It's like that.
But metal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because before they had wires, before he developed...
So when you say he invented the stimosever, what it was some rods.
It was a device that he used to control brains.
It was rods.
You can reduce any invention.
And then an electric thing.
You could say that about anything.
Sure. Okay.
He invented a device for a specific purpose. I don't know what you've got a problem with.
It was rods.
It was more than rods. I'm simplifying it for you guys.
Did you invent rods?
No, neither did he. Rods already existed.
You don't know.
How do you know? You weren't there.
Okay. Right, move on.
So he began working on animals, but then moved his research into human patients with schizophrenia and epilepsy. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a bit. But first, I just want to talk about the fact that none of this is very well referenced. Insofar as...
Was it a bit on the hush-hush?
I believe that this happened because it's possible for it to happen.
Okay.
No, it's so the science behind it. The science,
I believe everything.
Look at this scientist over here.
I believe that a lot of what's reported actually happened because the science behind it is sound. However, I just want to say up front that there are not a lot of sources on this, but the ones that I have found are pretty reliable.
Do we trust him?
That sounds a bit like something like a Bible lesson would say.
Yes.
No, but I only say this because there's been a lot of this in the news recently with vaccines and climate change, with people just quoting random articles and deciding that's the only one they're going to look at. And I just want to be upfront and say that take a lot of this with a grain of salt, but the science behind it is sound. This guy existed and people have written about what he's done.
Sounds like Jesus.
If it's wrong, I blame Corey.
Sounds nothing like Jesus.
People have written about him. Sounds pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. People have existed.
So that's, by that logic, you are Jesus.
I actually, during my childhood, thought I might be Jesus. Yes.
Every single episode, there comes a point where Luke says something that's incredibly self-centered.
It wasn't that I thought.
Usually it's from his past.
It wasn't that I thought I was Jesus. Well, usually. I thought I might be the reincarnation of Jesus. Yes.
How old were you?
Like 4.
Like normal 4-year-old behavior.
I don't. I went to church a lot, right? And I was learning about Jesus, and I was like, "This guy seems pretty sound. I want to be like him. Maybe I already am him." That was as far as it went. That was it.
It's quite deductive.
I was four. Corey's making a science show with no references that are reliable, so you can...
Okay. I'm going to move on to talk about the Stim Receiver more
in
depth. I'm just going to go through... Lots. I don't really have one study to talk about. I'm just going to talk about a range of things he did.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go on to talking about the ideas that he had for where it could go in the future. So it, as I said, it originally began as a wired device, but then as technology advanced, he managed to connect it to a radio transmitter so that it could send and receive signals completely remotely.
Mm.
So you could do this for as far as you could send a radio signal, which is pretty right? It's like, it's pretty far, and it's interesting that you could just control something's brain and make it hit itself in the face or stop running or something from hundreds of meters away. You're looking at me very intently.
Well, I'm just wondering if that's what you meant when I said to you earlier, like, is it like this? And you were like, oh, actually, that is what we're going to talk about. Is that what you mean?
That's exactly
it's like implying something in the brain that can receive an electrical signal, a magnetic signal, and turn it into an electrical signal.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
So
you can cut that out. I was just interested.
I'm going to leave that full thing in, including this.
Go ahead. So he showed that the stimulation of the motor cortex could be used to get specific physical reactions. So the motor cortex is just the part of your brain that controls movement. So if you zap that, you could get a cat to, say, stick out its leg or stick out its arm. Cats don't have arms, they've only got legs.
That's how they set up TMS for me. Was they find your motor cortex and they give you electric shocks until your arm twitches.
Yeah, I saw a video of you when you were getting it done, like as you were getting it done. Wasn't your face like twitching?
Your eyes
like twitch. That's because it kind twitches.
Of, the magnetic wave goes sort of through you. So whatever direction it's going to, it's going to hit muscles on the way through as well. But when they set it up to find out your like the resistance of your brain, they would just find the motor cortex and see how long it took for your arm to twitch. And then that's how strong they need to put the magnet on. Very simple.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I was researching this and I was quite interested. I mean, I was hoping you could come out with some insights.
TMS facts.
Yeah, because we've actually got someone here who went through this.
Yeah, it hurts.
Does it really hurt?
Yeah, it's quite sore. Like, which is weird because your brain doesn't have any pain receptors.
No, it doesn't. No.
So like the fact that it can hurt is strange. Yeah. I think what it is, my guess at what it is that the electrical charge is hitting the bit that they wanted to hit. But because your neurons obviously... like conduct charge because that's how they work, it's probably spreading out all across the brain to bits that deal with pain and then giving an electric shock to something that receives pain signals in the form of electricity, so it's getting electricity. That's my guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say either that or shocking something outside that's
like the head,
yeah,
the skin on the skull.
Yeah one of those, the skin on the skull.
Yeah, the scalp. Well, there is skin on my skull. Yeah, it's called a scalp, but it's skin on my skull. Shut up.
Skull skin.
So there is one specific experiment he did on monkeys that I really want to talk about.
Oh no.
Okay. He did it on one monkey, and this monkey was kind of a bully amongst the other monkeys.
Oh, he deserved it then.
Yeah, he deserved it. He's a bit of a mean monkey. Not a nice bloke.
Bit of a git.
He was the dominant male, and he put the Stim Receiver in the monkey's brain and, you know, started shocking it every now and then to see what would happen, and it would kind of stop it from moving. So he then put a lever inside of the monkey's cage, and this was a group of monkeys. So this big old dominant male was bullying this female, and she figured out if she pulled this lever he would stop.
No.
Yeah, so he completely rearranged the social structure of these monkeys.
What the fuck?
Just through introducing this mind control.
So clever, and I also hate it, but it's so clever.
Yeah.
That's animal cruelty done by animals.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Well, it's not done by animals, really.
She was pulling the lever.
No, it's done by humans. It's still done by humans. No,
no. She pulled the lever.
No.
She pulled the lever.
No, he gave her the gun and she pulled the trigger.
No. But she didn't know what a gun was or what the ramifications of pulling the trigger were, and he did. So
she knew what the ramifications of pulling the trigger were.
No, she didn't understand that it gave him pain. She just knew that it stopped him doing the thing he was doing.
Oh, the monkey could absolutely understand pain.
But they might not understand the cause and effect nature of it. They might be just going, I want this bad thing that's happening to me to stop. I pull lever, it stops. They don't make the connection, maybe, that is caused by an electric shock implanted in his man. Like,
I should point out that it's not necessarily painful. In fact, he insisted that it wasn't pain that they experienced because it it's in your brain. It's not, and it's in your brain and it's direct.
Mm. Well, we know firsthand that it can hurt a bit.
But this is, so the difference between what this guy was doing and what they're doing to Luke is that because it's outside of Luke's brain, it can pass through other parts.
It has to go through.
Only if Corey is right that it's hurting the outside. Yeah, not, right. It felt like a pain inside my brain.
But even if it's inside, it'll still be, it still has to, it's an electromagnetism. Mm. So it's inducing a charge, so it can induce a charge elsewhere. Mm. Whereas this electrode is implanted directly in the motor cortex.
So yes, but the motor cortex does conduct electricity to other parts of the brain.
Yeah,
so that it can port between them.
But it's very small. It's less likely to to cause a lot of pain. It's probably like just a small.
This wasn't
small
a lot amount of pain.
Oh, okay.
It's like a stabby pain. It's not like it doesn't make you go ow. Okay. It's just there, which is what that monkey's experiencing.
Yeah, well, I mean, the people that experienced it weren't overcome by pain or it was maybe slight discomfort more than anything. But essentially, it just kind of made the monkey seize up, stop moving. And Delgado, who loved to put human thoughts and feelings onto animals for some reason, he's a scientist.
That's what Luke does.
I actually put human thoughts and feelings onto everything.
That's true.
Delgado? Including objects.
You literally be an inanimate object.
Like, I sometimes feel sorry for food if I don't finish it.
Oh, do you ever pick up a pair of socks and then decide to wear another pair of socks and feel sorry for the socks that you put down?
No.
No?
No, that's weird.
It's not weird.
You're weird.
They want to be worn. It's their job.
No. It's not their job. Their job is to be cotton. You've made them into a sock.
I haven't made them into a sock. Capitalism has made them into a sock.
You purchased the sock, Corey. Have some responsibility.
Supply and demand.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
you're the problem with the world.
So Delgado said, the old dream of an individual overpowering the strength of a dictator by remote control has been fulfilled. At least in our monkey colonies.
If the individual can somehow knock the dictator out and implant electrode into his brain, yes.
Well, I'll get on to later how that could be
Thank
possible.
Thank you, Delgado, for this future utopia we live in.
Thanks, Hose.
That is not a soundbite that you actually want to have. I'm saying it now. He discovered that there's this part of your brain called the septum. It's in the limbic region. And if you shock that, it can trigger euphoria, which is obviously quite good.
Yes.
That's quite nice.
Yeah, it's just like it's a little button for happiness. Hmm. So it's strong enough in some cases to counteract depression and even pain, which is
cool.
Very
good.
Cool.
Positive.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine you can just have...
Why couldn't TMS have just done that to me?
Because it's more of a one-time fix. Yours is...
Do it every day then.
Oh my God.
Give me a TMS machine.
Push my happy button every day.
Yes. Can you imagine a society wherein everyone has little happy buttons that they just...
It's like a little thing in your head you plug in.
Cool. I mean, that's just called drugs, but yeah, sure.
It's more direct than drugs.
Is that better? I don't think that's better.
It's not. He limited his human research, supposedly, is what one source says.
That sounds like the line from like a serial killer. I will limit my human research.
Exactly. Mad scientist in a superhero movie.
However, every other source I've read says that he didn't really limit it at all. He did lots and lots of human experiments.
That sounds like something someone who experiments on humans a lot would say.
He'd go into mental hospitals and just pick a few.
Drag them out.
And no, they wouldn't drag them out. He'd keep them in there and just start working on them.
Ah.
Was he allowed to do that?
Yes. It was the 60s and 70s.
I'm sure he was allowed.
That's not a reason.
This was a point where America was using LSD to just experiment in mind control. I think you could kind of get away with most things.
I think you're assuming that America isn't doing bad things all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you just don't know about them because they're not just classified.
That's
yet.
So true. You can get away with certain things at certain times.
Yeah.
Do you think in the 60s they used the excuse, it's the 60s?
Yeah. I mean, almost certainly.
Come on. Well, now we go, it's 2019. Come on.
Yeah, but we used that to say not to do bad things. They used it
Maybe
as an
they
excuse
thought
to
it was
do
not
bad
a bad thing.
It's not 2019, guys. Come on. It's the 60s.
Giving a specific year outdates it really quickly.
Yeah, it's good fun, isn't it?
It's the
I
year
love watching
that
videos that are like, come on, guys, it's 2014. Get with the times. Shut up.
So it's kind of public knowledge, as far as I'm aware, that he was doing this because he was lauded as being a great scientist at the time.
Yeah.
Because he was on the very verge, the very precipice, one could say, of his field of study. And then he started saying some really weird things and he fell out of favor. Well, yeah, so people weren't really... They weren't tipped off by the fact that he was experimenting on people. It got a little bit worse. So
that didn't alert people.
He says that he turned away more patients than he treated. And supposedly there was a woman who, and I'm quoting...
That doesn't make it any better.
I'm quoting here, who was sexually promiscuous and prone to violence and had repeatedly been confined in jails and mental hospitals. And he decided not to treat her, despite the fact that her and her parents wanted him to. I don't know, I have some false sense of justice or... But he says he didn't do it because he wasn't just doing it willy-nilly to anyone.
Right.
So there are a few stories of him working on people. One of them I found involves a woman that was playing a guitar and then went nuts and just started smashing everything. Wow. And almost hit a guy with a guitar. And as she was coming to a swing, stopped and dropped it.
Was he doing something to it? Was he like...
Yeah, she had this thing in her brain.
So he was stimulating like some kind of rage center or something like that?
No, he stopped the rage.
Oh, what?
So she was
naturally
bear
raging.
Bear in mind, she was in a mental hospital.
Right.
So she was in the middle of these periods.
She was in the middle of a fit and he stopped it.
Ah. Wow.
And the thing is, that's what I'm saying about these stories not being well referenced, because I found so many of these, but they just seem... It's insane that you could have not heard of this up until now.
And I imagine like a load of the documentation, either in mental hospitals in the 60s, they either weren't making documentation or they've destroyed a lot of it.
Mm. I feel that is the case. And with a lot of this comes conspiracy theories, which is why I brought up earlier the whole sort of flat earth vaccines and climate change. Because this is a massive, as you'll see later, this is a massive thing for conspiracies. Like you said, a cell tower is controlling people's brains. People actually believe that.
Well, there's another one that's really interesting. I was told once, which is the idea that cell towers could be used to wipe out populations, which is like, again, I'm not turning this into a conspiracy podcast, but I find that interesting because it's perfectly, perfectly plausible in that, like, say you are ruling over a country and you are the ruler of the country. And you're worried that one day the country might rise up against you and riot and try and kill you, right? As it's not like that hasn't happened in history.
Yeah.
Like, we've had plenty of like times when the monarchy have been killed or people in power have been killed, right? Chop their heads off, etc. And so if you have some apparatus positioned around the country,
you control the whole population.
Just to kill them. Like a high dose of electromagnetic radiation could just kill everyone. And that's like, I'm not saying that's why those are there, but I'm definitely sure that conversation has been had as a possible last resort for those in power. Of course it has. I mean, like, just because it's possible. Like, you could just turn those things up to the highest power. I know that they have a power rating up to a certain amount in terms of, like, being used safely and being used consistently. But if it's like, I'm going to die if I don't do this, turn it up. They all break. They all explode, but they shoot out a big burst of radiation, kill off the population.
Fucking hell.
Of course it's possible. And they'll know that that's possible.
Another thing you could do, which is a little bit more terrifying, is if you're ruling over another population, is just to turn it up enough to stop them from being fertile.
Yeah.
Let them just die out.
Oh, shit.
And that's something that could happen.
Or knock them out.
Yeah. Well, that's something that could happen. That could be happening right now and we wouldn't know.
Yes.
You wouldn't know. Like, how long do you think it would take you to notice that no kids are being...
Yeah. Or, for example,
no one's falling pregnant.
You've got too many people in your country. Turn it up enough to give them cancer.
Exactly.
Or to turn them gay.
Or if you've got...
turn the friggin' frogs gay! Yeah.
If you've got an aging population and you want to curb that,
and
turn up the cancer
It's
beams.
Not a conspiracy theory. It's just this is a thing that is possible to be done, and so why do you assume it's not already happening? You shouldn't assume anything.
This has definitely become a conspiracy podcast. I love it.
I'm here for it.
But the thing is, like, people assume that it's not happening out of a sense of justice, that... Surely they wouldn't. The good things happen. The right things happen. Mm. But that's not always the case. I mean, if you look at Chernobyl, they didn't do the right thing there.
History is rife with lots of good people, lots of non-powerful good people wanting to do a good thing, and then lots of powerful people doing a bad thing, and the powerful people winning.
All it takes is one powerful person to do a bad thing.
Yes. And they convince the population that it's a good thing.
Exactly.
And then you're good. You've got World War II. Great.
Please tell me this episode ends on a high.
Yeah, to an extent. There's this a fun little story that I enjoyed. So he really enjoyed putting the things into women's heads.
Why?
Or he appreciated the women that he put
Yeah.
That he put, he did it to more, because they, he said that they've got, he said that female patients have shown their feminine adaptability to circumstance by wearing attractive hats or wigs to conceal their electrical headgear.
Wig.
Don't think that's just wonderful.
No, it's a terrible story.
I've observed women wearing wigs.
Creepy man with a wig fetish opens up women and puts electrical electrodes in their heads. Not a good story.
I just think that I just think it's nice that he enjoyed the fact that women would cover them with
the
wigs or hats.
Wigs, don't they? That's quite nice.
So I'm going to talk about my favorite experiment of his, the most famous one. Now, I've seen a video of this online. So it involves a bull called Lou, and essentially what happened was this bull was raging, as they do in Spain, and it was running towards Delgado, and he flips his switch, and the bull just veers to the other side. Stops
raging.
That requires that he had put an electrode in the bull.
Yes, I feel like you should assume that anyone that I talk about
put electrodes into everything that can ever happen to him.
What I'm talking about is what I'm saying is that any animal or person I talk about interacting with him, you should assume he's put electrodes in their brain.
Well,
because he does.
I'm sorry, that's just not a normal thing to do.
That's his thing. That's his thing. That's his whole shtick. You know, he's the electrode brain guy.
Okay.
Yeah, so he put, yeah, basically he was a bit of a stuntman. He was a bit of a,
clearly,
yeah, he was a bit of a showman. So he, and he was very Spanish as well. So
how is that related?
I can tell by the name.
He was a bit of a showman, and he was very Spanish.
The running of the bulls.
Yeah.
So he decided to do that, which is pretty incredible. Stopping a raging bull with a switch.
That's quite impressive, to be fair.
And having so much belief in your,
have you ever stopped a raging bull?
I guess I haven't.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a raging bull?
I've seen a bull. It wasn't particularly raging.
I've seen a raging bull.
Have you?
Yeah. It was in Cuba. Very scary.
I've not been to Cuba. Maybe I need to go.
No, you shouldn't go.
Why not?
This is the best bit of the podcast, guys.
What's your review of
Cuba? It's very poor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. Elitism.
You fucking
also, a
peasants.
Prostitute kissed me there. Anyway, moving on. A fun fact about bulls. Do you know how you wave the red, the red sheet to get them angry?
Yeah. It's not the red, it's the waving.
It's the waving that really annoys them.
They couldn't give a shit about red.
Yeah. They can't see red, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But the waving, that's too much for them.
It winds them up.
What
part have you walked past a bull in a skirt? Like, skirts are constantly rippling.
A bull wearing a skirt.
That's exactly what I envisioned as well. I was like, how does a bull wear a skirt exactly?
Around its little waist.
I mean, yeah, break gender.
But then you'd see its arse. And also, a bull is a boy. Boys can't wear skirts.
Boys can wear whatever they want.
You should tweet that, Corey. You should tweet that right now.
I'm not tweeting that.
Tweet it.
No,
boys,
thank you.
Boys can't wear skirts.
So that was kind of the end of his research. He gave up studying.
Thank God.
Yeah, he gave up studying this to an extent because human brains are a bit too complex. He couldn't really figure out where to stick the electrodes to get the desired effect.
Mm.
When they'd started, he thought...
He just stuck to calming people down.
Yeah, well, he thought that he could just cure epilepsy by sticking an electrode in and flipping a switch whenever they had a fit, but he just couldn't find the part because the brain
just didn't pan out for him.
Ridiculously complex.
You know, with epilepsy, they have another treatment which is pretty interesting, is that they, because Delgado's research of electrodes didn't work, I guess, what they do is they cut the bit of the brain called the corpus callosum, which is the bit that links the left and right hemispheres. They just cut it.
Mm-hmm.
And then your left and right hemispheres can't share information particularly well. I think there are other channels you can go through, but that's the main one. And so you have this effect where your left brain has specialized in some things.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one does like object recognition and one does language. But
left is for language.
If you cover one half of the eye and you show them a picture with their left vision or their right vision, whatever.
I've seen videos of this.
They can't draw it, even though they know, or they can't write the name for it because they can draw it, but they can't name it, which is so interesting because you know the object, you can't name it, you can only draw
it. I've seen the videos.
Is it not the thing that when you, if you get them to draw it, say they draw half of it, they come up with some excuse as to why they haven't done the other half?
What they do is sometimes if you show them one side, they will draw, say to draw it on this side, right? And then you ask the other side to draw the other half of it, and they'll draw something entirely different, and the two pictures won't match up. Very strange. Very strange.
So incredible. That's it on Delgado's experiments.
Brain is wild.
Yeah. But I want to talk a little bit now about where he wanted to go in the future and why he's kind of...
Why he didn't go there.
Disgraced. Yeah. So he wrote a book called Physical Control of the Mind Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society, which had pictures of the monkeys, cats, a bull, and women that he'd worked on. Essentially, what his idea was, as I'm sure you could probably guess, is having everyone being implanted with...
Yes, I'm sure things. That was his idea.
Yeah, so...
My invention will cure everyone.
The word Orwellian comes up an awful lot in reading about this, which makes sense.
This plot has happened in many films before.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of possible. I mean, he wanted to have a society wherein any thought, feeling, personality, or behavior that was not conducive to a civilized society was...
Could be changed or...
Could just be stopped.
Stopped, yeah.
His whole idea was, if everyone's implanted with these, anyone that has, say, criminal acts can just be... A switch can be flipped.
They're fine.
I don't think that's necessarily like an... It's not an evil idea on the surface, as long as everyone has control over their own thing. Like, if you have a particular compulsion you don't want, you can turn it off with your electrode. But it only seems evil because in reality we know that it would be misused. But if everything was perfect and everyone was nice and everyone was honest, it would be a lovely...
Be a really helpful
It
tool.
Would be a lovely place. I mean, the issue is that his idea took away the whole concept of consent. So he said that neurotechnology, literally, was on the verge of conquering the mind. He wasn't a man that wanted people to choose their own path. He was like, okay, if you think bad things, goodbye to those thoughts. We're controlling
your brain now.
What a rubbish man.
I know.
So this is what I was saying, that he kind of was a bit literally, of a mad scientist.
Literally is just like a supervillain, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well,
that is a supervillain plan.
You say conquering the mind. You're reading conquering the mind as in like controlling the mind. He could have meant conquering the mind as in like conquering gravity or like understanding it fully. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt here.
He worked with the American government on MKUltra.
All right, cool. Fuck him. End of the episode. Goodbye.
Stupid hoes.
Fuck hoes.
Yeah. So I mean, we've kind of already spoken about it. What do you guys? Just to hammer out, what do you guys think about
hose
controlling? Yes. What do you guys think about hose?
I love him.
You sounded too... There was too much conviction in that, James.
What do we think of hose?
I'm done, honestly.
What do you think of hose? I think maybe he started with good intentions. He had a really good idea, and then it spiraled to bad places.
I think he was very clever in one specific way and very stupid in many other ways. Yeah. And he couldn't see his own stupidity. And so while his technology might have been interesting, ultimately it didn't fit into the wider society, and that's why no one cares about him anymore.
Drop
my mic. No.
So you don't think that we should control people's brains?
Absolutely not, Corey. Have you not ever met me?
You were just saying earlier it'd be lovely if everyone was lovely.
If they had... Well, no, because you're asking me, should we control people's brains? Maybe we can control our own brain. Mm. But that sort of brings into question whether you don't actually already have control over your own brain, which I think you probably do.
Not to that extent.
No.
Otherwise, I mean, in this context, everyone could be wearing just a hat. A lovely little hat.
A little mind control hat.
And whenever you decide, oh, I'm feeling quite sad. Happy now.
Yes.
You know?
No.
No?
No, because negative emotions are important. Like, if you're just happy all the time... Maybe you shouldn't be happy. Maybe there's something that's making you sad that you should actually deal with. So no, that's the same thing as just taking loads of drugs to get over your problems. That's stupid.
I just want to clarify, I do agree with Luke on this one. I do agree with you.
Yeah.
I just think that all of these kind of things are good jumping off points for sci-fi stories or like Black Mirror things.
Yeah, they are a Black Mirror, yeah.
Exactly.
It's very Black Mirror-y.
It's one of these things that back in the 70s, you wouldn't think that we were so close to
doing
something so...
But it's
so
the kind of thing that I think will probably exist and will be sold to us at some point in our lives.
Oh, absolutely. I mean...
Which is pretty miserable.
It's one of these things that it's... The science isn't really holding us back. It's the ethics of it.
Well, it's because we can't do human trials.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. But the ethics of it from the point of view of people actually selling this to us, they don't care about the ethics. They just want to sell us stuff. So Yeah, I think this will happen. This will exist before I'm dead.
At some point.
And I will not be using it.
Okay. Well, you've already used TMS, so you've kind of failed.
That's different. Shut up.
It's not different. It's the same thing.
It's a depression treatment. It's not the same thing. It's not like on the day-to-day, I go, oh, I could do with some TMS because I've had a slightly bad day and I don't want to face up to the problems in my life, so I'll go and get my brain zapped. That wasn't what was... I also went through therapy and went through other things. I wasn't just going, just give me some electrical ecstasy. Thank you.
Feeling quite down today. I might just go get some TMS.
No.
But there could be it is feasible to be able to read those brain signals and have a cap that does it automatically for you. That automatically administers... TMS, essentially, whenever you're hitting a really low point.
Yes, and I think that will exist.
Yeah.
But I don't think we should use it.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Sorry if that interferes with TMS's future business model.
Is that an undeclared ad, Luke?
No. No, because it was...
I'm cutting that out. Thanks for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave a nice wee review? Find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can follow me at NotCory everywhere.
You can follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
And you can follow me home. I'll cook you a nice dinner. Oh. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.